Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am really honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. These are people who are entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, small business owners, virtual assistants, web developers, honestly, anyone who has a great business and wonderful stories to share. And these are people who are excited to freely share their business wisdom as well as tips and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome a friend of mine to the show. He's a friend and a client, and his name is Khaled Al-Masri. Now, Khaled's attitude is that we spend our lives dreaming of doing something great or creating something great that will one day impact the lives of many. 3 years ago, Khaled had a vision for the NorCal Fitness Summit in Northern California, San Francisco to be specific, that has become a reality. And his vision that was at top professionals, and I do mean top professionals in the fitness industry, I listed them on my Facebook page. You can see them on the NorCal site. It's impressive. But his vision was that top professionals in the fitness industry would help build their community and help guide the fitness industry to its greatest potential. And in 3 very short years, he has built it from a handful of presenters into a 3-day, 20-speaker, life-changing experience for fitness business owners. And honestly, even though this one is for fitness people, I'm going to get him to tell the tale because I think anybody who has a really great vision can do what Khaled has done. Now, his goal with this particular summit was to create an event that brings leading fitness professionals, trainers, and entrepreneurs. You know, you don't necessarily have to be a trainer. There's an awful lot of business that goes behind owning a business, and he had the wisdom to bring everybody into this, you know, this tent. So his big intention was to target the typical headaches and growing pains of running an independent fitness business and creating a blueprint to solve those headaches and pains that come up the, you know, all along the way the smart way. So I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to get him to tell us because he's got a great story. I don't want to cut into that. So, Khaled, welcome to the podcast. NorCal is just in a few weeks. I'm so excited. Yes.
I am too. Thank you for having me. I love your intro, by the way, but thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, anytime. You know, we've been working, and I mentioned this at the top of the show just in disclosure. You are a friend and you're a client. I've been working with you on this for 3 years. I mean, you brought me at the very beginning. And yes. I have to tell you, I'm honored to have been a part of this from day one because I am in a unique position to know what's gone on. And to see how, you know, I mean, you have just taken this to a handful. And I think Todd Durkin was one of the very first presenters, wasn't he? And yes. Then, I mean, now it's like, holy, I get emails from you. I'm like, where did this come from? How did you do this? So anyway, before we get started, welcome to the podcast. And please tell the audience a bit about yourself that I may have missed in the introduction.
You did a great job. You didn't miss anything. I live in Northern California, founder of the NorCal Fitness Summit, San Francisco to be exact. Actually, Fremont to be exact, but Northern California. I've been in the industry now 10 years as a regional director and a fitness director at several different corporate big box health clubs. And then 3 years ago, founded the NorCal Fitness Summit as an event that, it started out as an event in the Bay Area because as a trainer, I was tired of spending money traveling and having to shut down the business for a weekend and cancel all my clients and being away from my, friends, family, my wife, that ends up costing $2,000-$3,000 when you look at the entire spectrum of a weekend away. And San Francisco, Northern California has a really big hub of personal trainers. There's about 45,000 personal trainers in the Bay Area. And it's like, why, where are they going? Like, why don't we have anything here? And that was the first initial idea behind NorCal, was like, all right, we need to create something here. Let me put this together. And honestly, I was at a mastermind retreat, and I came home and I went on Facebook and I was like, hey, I'm creating a fitness summit. It's going to be Northern California. It started out as a one day, who wants to speak? And I put it on Facebook, and the first event we had 30 attendees and I think we had 7 or 8 speakers.
I remember it started out small, but once you put out that initial call to action, people just went, yeah, I'm in. I mean, I was pretty amazed by how quickly that caught fire.
There was a need for it. And I think that's one of the, like, if I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to, like, to business or even creating an event, is I knew there was a need for it because I'm in the trenches, I'm in that market, I'm talking to the trainers and I'm hearing their pains, and a lot of it just came down to money and time and travel. They would love to have something here, and we, you know, there was a couple conferences that come up here, but that's it. They were more towards the beginning of the year and nothing the rest of the year. So, you know, it came out of a need to help serve the fitness trainers and fitness entrepreneurs in the Bay Area.
Well, and let's face it, I mean, you saw a need that you needed, so you decided to build something around what you perceived your need was as well, which is a very smart way of doing business. You know, once you identify something that will benefit you, and then you look around and you see that it will benefit others in your general community, why not? I mean, it just makes sense to do it.
Absolutely. And I think the need for me, it was deeper than just as a trainer. I'm going to kind of go back a little bit to I moved here when I was 5 from the Middle East. And so for anyone who's listening, who wasn't born in the United States, who immigrated over to the United States, There was a lot of time, like growing up, there was a lot of times when I was like alone and I didn't fit in, and I took risks and hung out with the wrong group of people so I could fit in. You know, I just felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I was an island just kind of by myself. Like, I really just was alone. A lot of those feelings are the same feelings entrepreneurs have now. They feel alone. They feel like they're on an island by themselves. They feel like no one understands them, and they want to be a part of something. Like, the two most human need, connectivity. They want to be connected to something bigger than themselves and serve a greater purpose. And that, for me, is NorCal. NorCal has allowed me to fulfill a need that I yearned when I was younger, is now one of my strengths at 34, the ability to bring 150 people together in a room for a weekend, plus with 20 speakers. That, for me, NorCal's deeper than just an event for me. It's actually, like, it's part of my DNA.
So it fulfills your sense of community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is my brand. Like, when I talk about this, you know, we talk about, you know, in business, knowing your brand story. My brand story with NorCal is, It was something that I wanted and craved when I was younger, is now one of my strengths as I'm older. And it's that ability, there's a root to NorCal that stemmed from when I was 5, and all those feelings of loneliness and not belonging are now, I get to help solve those feelings that entrepreneurs are having now by bringing them all together for a weekend for 3 days.
And I mean, that's a lovely story, because so many people don't understand the genesis of what they're doing and why they're doing it. They're just doing it. They don't really know why. They kind of haven't, you know, saying, oh, yeah, I didn't like my childhood. It kind of sucked. I think we all say that at some level. But people don't often dig into it deep enough to go, this is why I do what I do. And this is why this works so well for me. So good for you. I mean, that's pretty smart.
I mean, we all have a root story. We all have a root story that grounds us to our business. And if you step back far enough and really look at the business and look at what the business is solving for, or what it's peel back, go back in time and look at when you were younger, there, I promise you, you can connect the two and look at the, like, the cohesiveness of what the business does now versus what you were doing when you were younger or what you weren't doing when you were younger.
Now, how did you, I have to ask, it's maybe a personal question. You can tell me to bug off if you need, but how did you decide to go that deep? I mean, I know that you're a strong believer in continuing education and that you're constantly looking at self-growth and, you know, you're doing a lot of things. I know you're part of Todd Durkin's big group there. What prompted you? Was there any point that you can recall or share where you said, hey, hang on a second, I know exactly where this started? Or how did you peel back those layers, I guess, is my question.
I actually got on a phone call with a gentleman named Chris Smith, and he's actually a speaker at this at NorCal, and he has a program called the Campfire Effect. And so we got on a call. Basically, what the Campfire Effect is think about when you were when you're around a campfire, you're sharing stories and you're telling stories. And so we got on a phone call, and he walked me through some of what he does and how he helps people align their story to their brand. And right then and then it clicked for me because I went back to when I was five and I'm like, wow, like I never thought that at 34, I would be a curator of bringing people together and bringing content together and helping people solve their pains when I had those same pains at five. And when that clicked for me, that became now my brand story. So when I tell the story of NorCal, yeah, it's about helping entrepreneurs and having a summit in the Bay Area, but it's much, much deeper than that. And now that is the story I share. And now that story resonates with more and more people because more people now connect with Khalid as a part of NorCal.
Exactly. And that kind of takes me back to what I said in the very beginning in the intro, that this is more of a big tent type of thing. This is not just, you know, for fitness trainers, like this is how you run your business. This is how you get people in the door. This is how you run your numbers. This is really a kind of a mind, body, soul type of event, isn't it? You know, look at who you are. Look at what you're bringing to the table. Look at how you run your business. I mean, you're touching on all parts of business creation and management, aren't you?
We are. And that was one of my biggest, you know, thoughts when I was putting this event together was, how do I distinct NorCal from all the other conferences? And I've been to all of them, and they're all great conferences with great content and great speakers. But I didn't just want to be another conference. Like, I just didn't want to be a part of that white noise of, like, conference, conference, conference. So a lot of it was taking a step back and looking at, okay, what are they doing very well, and what can I incorporate into mine? But what are they not doing, and what can I add into mine to be the first to do it? And so for us, you know, I liked the small, intimate settings. I'm not a big fan of 15,000 people because as someone who loves to connect with people, that's way too many people. Like, I can't connect with 15,000 people. And put it on the side of, now put the shoe on of the entrepreneur, you want to connect with others and you want to get to know others and spend time with others. You can't do that with 15,000 people. So we keep NorCal small. So I cap it at 200. Because I don't want to lose its intimacy. That's the one thing I always heard after, this is what, our seventh event in 3 years. The one thing I've always heard was people love the intimacy of the event and the fact that they can, the speakers are accessible, they stay, they talk, they help, they coach. They're not just, you know, they don't just give their talk and then leave. They hang out all weekend and they connect to the attendees, and that's what makes the event so special.
And that makes sense because, look, I've been at some of these events. I try not to go to many events because I am a complete and total introvert. And I can hang around with people for 59 3/4 minutes. That's it. That's my outside limit. So I recognize, you know, this in myself, so I do avoid these types of things. But when I can find them in their online summits or do like you have done, you know, after the summit is done, then you offer it as a kind of a recorded series. You know, we can go back and watch those. And even though what I'm finding with your particular summit is that even though it's basically for trainers, it has so many business applications that it's pretty much for anyone. And I think that may well be what sets you apart from the other summits.
It totally is. I mean, my market's the fitness industry and it's fitness entrepreneurs, but the content can be applied to any business owner. You know, anyone can work on how to have a better presence on social media. Anyone can work on how to tell your brand story better. Anyone can work on how to improve their sales. So yeah, you know, we're keeping it to fitness, but the event, when you really look at it, is open to any business owner looking to really make more money, get more time, get time back by systemizing what they do, and to be able to spend more time with their family.
And that's what we all need as entrepreneurs. I had a big chat with myself this morning. I do that. You know, I get myself in a corner and go, well, Denise, what are you going to do today? And honestly, one of the big chats that I had with this morning is that my environment has gotten a little bit out of whack. You know, I'm not OCD or ADD or any of those things, but anything untidy, after a while, I can see it out of the corner of my eye and it bugs me. And I've been so busy lately that I've really gotten a little bit out of whack. So as soon as we're done today, you know, once I had that talk with myself this morning, and I recognized that, you know, it's time to kind of take control of what's going on in my life, because it has gotten a little bit, you just get busy. You get busy and that's your big excuse. So as soon as we're done today, I've done all of my work for the day. I'll check in for the rest of the day, but I am going to do some serious tidying up of my environment. Now, if you were to walk into my home, you'd go, oh, this is beautiful, but I know there's stuff hidden in the closets that needs to be gotten rid of. And for some reason, it's really bothering me. So, and my point for that is that there, I think what you're doing with the summit is you're teaching people that it's okay to say, you know, you don't have to go all the time. You have to take care of yourself at the same time. And I've noticed that with a lot of your guests and, you know, the people that are training. It's not just about get people in the door, you know, teach them burpees, and it's not that. It's teaching them all about how to really go into their life, their business, their family life. It's really a whole kind of experience from what I can see watching you build this over the last 3 years. And I have to tell you, that's what fascinates me with it.
It's definitely a complete circle. And I think, you know, we have like a fitness entrepreneur retreat that I'm launching next year. It's called the You Matter Retreat. And it speaks to that point, like you matter, like you as the entrepreneur matter. And I think you matter because there's a lot of other people that are impacted by your performance, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And if those skills are not honed in and those daily practices are not put into play and those daily habits are not put into play, a lot of people are depending on you. And so we focus on that. We focus on the messenger, you, the entrepreneur first, and making sure that you understand where you are before you can start helping others and helping others understand where they are, or help move others towards whatever goal or ambitions they have.
And see, that was beautifully stated. That's what I was trying to get to, but my mind is so muddled this morning, I couldn't get to it. So thank you for pulling that out of me.
You're welcome.
Listen, I needed that. And actually, I will be working a bit today, but I'm not going to be going all day long. I really do need to take some downtime. And I finally gave myself permission to do it, and I got to say, it feels pretty good. Normally, I would be going, oh, you don't have time. I'm making time. So, you know, I'm learning a lot from, you know, watching you and watching my other clients. And, you know, sometimes you just have to say, oh, give it a rest. You're not Superwoman. Give it a rest. So that's what's going to happen today. But what
absolutely.
I wanted
I mean,
to – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You can only sprint for so long. Like, at some point, you got to stop. And it's just, you listen to your body. There's days, like, when I don't feel like doing anything, I'm not going to do anything. Like, I'll go for a walk, I'll go work out, I'll read a book, and I'm reset. It's like a reset day for me. And I've come to say, okay, today's a reset day. I'm just not in the mindset to do work. So I'm going to be about me. Like, I'm going to take a call a day, and I'm going to go for a walk, go work out, go grab lunch with a friend. And then the next day, I'm back. Like, I just needed that one day to get away from everything. And you'd be surprised, like, creativity-wise, like, what you come up with that next day when you've had a day to just step away from everything.
Oh, exactly. And that's, I'm planning on this weekend just being incredibly fired up. And I know it'll happen because I'm just shutting down. I've actually got bleach on my utility room floor. I've hauled everything out of it. I've got it. I mean, it's so, because that's where, you know, my laundry is in there. The cat litter box is in there. I just said, oh, heck with this. Yanked everything out, and I'm cleaning it from wall to floor on a Friday, on a work day. But I gave myself permission to do that because I need to do it. Now, I know, but I've got a lot of things working in the back of my head that I know out of, you know, part of this cleaning process are going to be part of the cleaning process, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
So why is it so difficult for us to give ourselves permission to just not work all the time? What is that all about?
I think it's a, yeah, it's a good question. I think it's a, it's guilt. It's like, well, if I don't do it, I'm not going to get it done. It's not going to happen. Yep. We guilt ourselves into thinking like, oh, I got to be busy. Like I'm not doing my job if I'm not busy. It's complete BS. That's what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, like you're doing your job. Like busyness to me means really nothing. It's like, you know, it's more, I more look at like in the block of time that you set aside to do work, how much work did you do? And so for me, it's more looking at like the quality of those hours spent versus I got to stay busy because that's what I think. That's what I always, you know, entrepreneurs stay busy or business owners stay busy. Well, no, they don't. They know how they work with, they structure their day and they work within a structure. And then their day is laid out from 9 to 11. I'm answering emails. And then once that's done, I'm no longer answering emails. But it's discipline. I think a lot of it just there's no lack of discipline, or there is no discipline. There's a lack of discipline, and so the minute a ding goes off, like a cell phone ding goes off or an email ding goes off, we react. And now once that starts happening, you're just reacting all day to other people's needs versus figuring out what your needs are and building a structure around your time. Like your golden time, your golden hour, like that has to be protected. Otherwise, always going to be reacting. Otherwise, you're just reacting to other people all the time.
Right. What I've done, and I learned this from Todd actually, is, you know, to get up in the morning very early, which I've always done anyway, but that's my time. And, you know, it's my spiritual practice. I'm doing connected breathing. I'm outside on my covered porch with my Maine Coon on my lap, and I may be doing chair yoga, but nothing stops me from doing that every morning, not rain, not anything. And it may be 5:30 in the morning, and I may not come back in the house until 7:30 in the morning, but once I hit my desk after I've, you know, fed everybody and, you know, brushed my teeth, taken my shower, once I hit my desk, I am on. But I have to have that time alone. And I live alone. You wouldn't think that would be important, but it's critical to have that focused practice in place every day, whatever time
Absolutely.
Of day it's going to be.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I had to really work at making myself do that. But once I got in that flow, I won't not do it. I just won't.
It's a process. And it's creating a new habit, and I had to go through the same thing. Like I completely, my day, like by typically like a few months ago, by like 2-3 o'clock, I was tired, I was done, and so I would start turning into like caffeine to wake me back up. And what I ended up doing was, one, I got into meditation. I had a couple of really good friends talk to me about meditation, so I started doing. I downloaded Headspace, it's like an app. And I do 10 minutes of meditation in the morning, and then I go work out for 30, 45 minutes every day. That has been the biggest, that's all I do. And then, you know, I have a self journal where I journal, what am I grateful for? What are my goals? Who do I want to contact today? Who do I want to reach out and say hi to today? You know, it's that whole thing takes me about 2 hours. But I can tell you my day.
Me
is
too.
So,
it's about 2 hours in the morning.
It's about 2 hours. and my day's perfect. Like my day productivity wise is so much better. I'm not tired by 3 o'clock. I have energy all the way through till I go home or till I get home. And I'm just in a more positive state than, and I know this because I've tested it where I didn't work out in the morning. And by the afternoon, like I felt like yuck. Like I didn't feel good. I was exhausted. And then the next day I work out at noon. I'm like, holy crap. I'm ready to go. let's go change the world.
Right, and it really is important, and I've learned this, and I think it may be more important for women because I think by nature we're caregivers, we're nurturers, and we tend to put ourselves at the back of the line. And, you know, even if we're living alone, which, you know, we're still taking care of clients, and, I mean, I caught myself doing this. I was like, Denise, really? So once I started putting these me time practices into place, and yeah, I wake up before dawn. I mean, when the birds start making noise, I'm awake going, woohoo, and I'm out there with them. But, yeah, and it may not even be light outside, but, you know, that's my time of day is very, very early in the morning. But once I discovered that I had to put these practices into place, and what I did, college, you're going to think I'm nuts, but I'm a list maker. This is how I operate. I went into my Evernote, and I created, and I talked about this on my last show, too. I created a morning, noon, and evening, just Denise, no clients, no nothing. These are my practices. So, you know, in the morning, it may be the 20 connected breaths. I may be doing breath work. I may be doing yoga. I have a whole list of things that I want to do before I even walk into my office, which is in my home. I have to tell you, by the time I walk in here, I feel good. I'm not feeling stressed. I'm not worried about what the email is going to bring. I'm just clear. My body feels good. You know, I have a garage gym. I have a gym in my garage. I have the, what is that? And I'm conceited in my mind. Todd Durkin did the Todd and
the Total Gym?
The Total Gym. I have the Total Gym in my garage. I work out on it every day. I have, you know, a rebounder, which I love. It's really my favorite piece of equipment. You know, I'm in there for 30 minutes every morning. By the time I hit the shower and come in here, I am so crystal clear that I feel like I can do anything and do. My productivity is through the roof, absolutely through the roof, but I'm taking the time to take care of me. And even on my list, call it on that morning list, 32 ounces of water. I love water. I drink it all the time, but I'm making myself make sure I get that first 32 ounces in before I go to work. Makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know, like, I know we listed out a lot of things there. Like, just pick one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, most people are like, oh, my God, that's so much. Like, work out, meditate, journal. No, just pick one. Like, maybe you meditate for 10. Like, that's your new thing. Like, I'm going to wake up and do 10 minutes of meditation. Or I'm going to wake up and go to the gym first. Or I'm going to wake up and journal for a little bit. Like, just pick one of those things and start there. Like, don't do all three if you're not ready for all three. Otherwise, you're going to fail because let it ascend and build it up every month, maybe every 30 days. It's a new challenge. Like so starting today for the next 30 days, I'm going to meditate for 10 minutes, or I am just going to find my own quiet space for 10 minutes, or I'm going to go to the gym and work out for 30 minutes. Just pick one little habit and do it for 30 days and see what difference it will make in across all spectrums of your life.
It really does. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. I was doing all of these things, but randomly. Just random. You know, I need to go do this. Oh, I need to go do that. Once I put them into Evernote and I put it in a checklist, because I love checklists. I really do. And I'm able to go check, 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 check. Ooh, cool. And then the next day I can, you know, just copy it. I can, you know, make a copy of that. And I uncheck everything, but I'm able to see where I was yesterday. What I might have missed, go back and go, well, why did I miss that? Is it important? Can it come off of this list? It's been a very interesting journey, and I'm just having a good time with it, I have to say. But meditating is a big problem for me. I tend to fall over and drool, or I start making the Thanksgiving grocery list. You know. But what I found was, and I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins, and I found he was talking about what he does is a 15-minute gratitude practice. You know, he takes about 5 minutes and he lists out all the things that he's grateful for. And then the next thing is, what am I going to do for the rest of the day? And I'm finding that that works for me in place of true meditation.
It does. And I think, you know, and everyone responds to it a little bit different. Like for me, I can't really go like 10 minutes. Really, it's a good time frame for me. Like if I go any more, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, my brain just starts to wander. So 10 minutes is good for me. And then, you know, and then I know what you're talking about with Tony Robbins. I bought that CD, that package. And I like, you know, who am I grateful for? What am I grateful for? I'm going to send love out to these individuals. I do that too. Like, I do that in my car. Like, who are the three people I'm grateful for today? You know, there's a cool little journal called a self journal. And basically what you do is you wake up and you write the three things you're grateful for. And then you know, what are your goals for that day? And then at night you come home and you write your lessons learned for that day. Like, what were your three lessons learned for that day? And then what are you grateful for? And so it's a morning and night thing where you set the day up and then you reflect on the day. And then the next day you set the day up and you reflect on the day. And that's kind of how you start looking at, okay, what's happening in my day, and why are certain days feeling certain? Why do I feel certain ways on certain days and others? And is there something happening in my day on those days where I don't feel good, or I feel like my day just got out of control? What was happening on that day? So a lot of self-awareness.
It really is, and it's kind of keeping track. I mean, we kind of wander through our day and go, oh, you know, I got a lot of stuff done. I don't know about you, when I go to bed or when I try to put myself to sleep, sleep is not something that I'm very good at. But, you know, I've learned to kind of start these bedtime rituals to try to talk myself into going to sleep. And one of the things, the very last things I do before I go to sleep is turn over whatever is bothering me. If there's some kind of sticky thing that just I can't find an answer to, excuse me, I'm raspy today, I will turn that over to my subconscious for review, because my subconscious is always working. And the next day I have an answer. But I know you probably do this too. You know, you kind of beat yourself up if you don't catch yourself at it just before you're going to sleep. Oh, I didn't do such and such. Oh, darn it. And I've had to go, bad Denise, stop it. You did this, and those were good. Good girl. You know, so I've had to kind of reframe how I talk to myself before I fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's where, like, a day reflection, like a nighttime reflection comes in, because then you can just brain dump everything you're thinking of and then get it on paper and out of your mind. And then it's the setup of how you start your day it's the same setup as how you go to bed. Like, you have a routine that starts your day, but then what's your routine when you go to bed? And for me, I've discovered, I take magnesium and zinc, like ZMAs, to help me go to sleep. I have no problem falling asleep, but I get really good sleep when I take these. It's like a tea that I drink. And then within 30 minutes of like my bedtime, I pretty much go lay in bed and I read a book. And my books in my bed are usually like autobiographies. I can't read. If I read like a marketing book or a business book, my brain is going to go into that mode, and I'm just going to start. I'm going to start working. So I have like autobiographies. I have some other books that are just, they're fun reading, and I'm still learning, because I'm learning about other people, but it's not directed to like business. So I have different routines at night, just like I have in the morning.
You've got to send me that information on those. On how to sleep, because I have never been I've never been good at it. My mother said that she would find me wandering around at, you know, 2 and 3 in the morning in the dark. And my favorite thing apparently to do was to tie my father's shoes together. I must not have liked him very much, but, they would just find me in cupboards and I was always wandering around all by myself. Some reason I don't sleep very well, but I'm used to it. I don't have insomnia. But sometimes I do have trouble getting to sleep, so definitely send me information about that.
Hello.
So let's get back to the summit, because now we've convinced people that you really know what you're talking about, that you're a very deep-thinking person, that you've got a lot to offer. So what I want to find out from you is, I know how you started it. I was there. But what were the lessons that you took from that very first year when you had just a handful of presenters? And it was just a one-day event, wasn't it?
It was. We were doing.
So then, how did you grow it? I mean, what prompted you to go, hey, this was cool, let's keep on going?
I think for the first event, it was, there was a build up to NorCal. So yeah, the event has been, it's been 3 years, but the thought of the event happened like almost 5 years ago. At a Todd Durkin mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to someone in college.
Right.
Yeah. We were at a retreat, and I remember talking to some of my colleagues, and I'm like, I want to start a fitness summit.
I built the websites for those, and that's why I know about those as well.
Yeah. So it started there, and then I just started talking about it. I went to another, and then that was it. I put it out there, and I'm going to leave it alone and just see what happens. And then I was with some other friends at a different event, and then I was like, you know, I really want to build a fitness summit. Like, I just kept, like, it kept coming to me, and like a little voice in my head, it was just fitness summit. And then just from talking to people in the area, Northern California, I got a lot of good words like, yeah, that'd be awesome. We need one. We don't have anything here. I was like, all right, like there's something happening here. So I basically looked at reaching out to going to different events, looking at what are the, some of what, not just fitness events. I intended business events, entrepreneur events, marketing. I wanted to see like what it is about these events that bring hundreds of thousands of people in. And a lot of it was the experience, like what, and the experience, like I felt the content was great, amazing, but what brought people back was the experience. And I just started making notes and I started really observing. I'm like, all right, what are they doing here? What are they doing with their lighting? What's going on with the stage? Like, what's the, in between the sessions, what's happening? What's the engaged side? I just really got analytical about all these events. And then I started building relationships. And that's the bigger message here is the speakers I've had in the past, currently, I've all come out of relationships and all come out of relationships of me talking to them, introducing myself, buying their product, attending their conference, reaching out and saying hi. The networking with them, that has helped build this event and has allowed me and blessed me with the opportunity to bring this caliber of speakers to Northern California. I truly feel that if it wasn't for the network and the reciprocated relationship of myself and the speaker, the level of speakers I've been able to get would have never happened.
Oh, you're not going to get an argument from me. That's exactly how you create connections and you create relationships is, you know, you have to give and get. I mean, that's just the way the world works.
You do. Absolutely. And when you're trying to put together an event like this, your network is going to be the first place. Business, not even an event, even any business, your network, is going to be the first place you're going to go to see what kind of support you want to get, what help you can get. And you'll be surprised, man. People are willing to raise their hand and say, hey, I'm here to help. What do you need? And I've been really fortunate with that. And a lot of these guys have raised their hand and see the vision of what I'm trying to do and support that vision and have raised their hand and said, hey, let me know what you need. I'm more than happy to help.
Yeah, I've witnessed that along the way. So, Khaled, what has changed in 3 years? I mean, year one, kind of small, but still a big win for you. Year two, let's talk about year two.
Year two, we got bigger. So we did we went to two events a year, with 12 speakers at each event. So we went to a 2-day event, 2 a year, and that was just logistical craziness. It was so hard. It was challenging because as one event was wrapping up, we were already promoting the other event, and I was kind of almost cannibalizing my events because, you know, the thing with events is you need attendance and you need attendees, you need people in the seats, and that's how the event grows. Well, we were running 2 a year, and basically, one, you know, they would go to one and really not have to go to the other one or vice versa. And so we made a decision at the end of year two to only go down to one event a year in October, and make that just the big event, 3 days, 20 speakers. You know, but you know, our last event had about 70 people at our last event a year ago. This year, as of today, we have 150 people registered.
That's big growth in just 3 years. That is massive growth. Now, what do you attribute that to?
understanding the brand story. Like when I figured that out, and when I had got the help to understand how to tell my story of the event being bigger than just an event, that made such a big difference because now I knew what it meant. I knew what NorCal was. Like I knew there was a deeper meaning, and now I knew how to explain it. So now when I shared that with people, they were there. They're like, wow, like I connect with you. The other part is people saw the social proof, like the blessing of getting the caliber of speakers I've been able to get at NorCal. That's social proof to others in the industry saying like, this event is not some just one, this wasn't just a passion project that, you know, it's a 1 year event and that was it. We got, you know, people saw it. We got pictures. People see the speakers. They're like, wow. And the word of mouth, like just the word of mouth that got out in the industry, in the area about the event, the experience from the attendees, and all of that has helped build it to where it is today. And then once I figured out how to use Facebook and run Facebook ads and figure out how to write better copy and how to touch those pain points, and how to target my audience better and, you know, to reach out to the industry. All that came together with some amazing coaching that I received. I mean, I went out and hired a coach myself to help me get this event to where it's at, to help me understand how to put these events together much better. Here's where we sit today. Here's why I've been able to, that's why it's doubled in size over the last year.
What lessons have you learned, you know, from the first one to this one? I mean, what are the, let's just pick two. What are your two biggest lessons that you've learned to date?
I think the biggest one is don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, you know, no, there's no blueprint to how to put these events on. And I reached out to the presenters because I knew some of them have put on events themselves. And don't be afraid to ask for help because they are willing to help. And I got on phone calls and we got on an hour phone call and they walked me through, here's what you should be doing and here's how you should set it up and here's what I think would help. They were willing to share that information, and I never would have gotten that if I didn't raise my hand and say, hey, I'm stuck. I need help. Will you help me? And that for me was the biggest one. And then the network always, like, I keep going back to the relationships and the network, on both ends, the attendee end and the speaker end. Like, nurture those networks, nurture those relationships. Like, I talk to the NorCal attendee group every week, every day. I'm sending out something in our Facebook group. I talk to the speakers. They don't just hear from me when it's time to buy a ticket again for the next event. I'm writing them emails. I'm sharing what's going on. I've opened up and I share very transparently and very authentically with what's going on with me in my life, good and bad. So you see that I'm a real person and you hear me throughout the entire year. And I share some of my best practices and here's what I'm working on right now. And here's how, you know, and people connect to that. So I think it's, don't be afraid to ask for help and always nurture and cherish that network and those relationships.
And see, both of those are brilliant. And I've got two comments on that. Number one, if you've listened to my radio program at all, you will often hear me say that entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, are the most gracious and giving people on the planet. I mean, we're not, I think those of us who worked in other people's offices back in the day before we decided to become unemployable to some degree and work for ourselves, we were kind of accustomed to that, oh, no, you can't know what I'm doing. I have to hug this to my chest because you might steal it and I might lose my job. You know, that kind of icky mentality. Lose that mentality because entrepreneurs, if they can help you, they will. You know, I will caution you, don't keep going back to the well. Don't keep saying, can I pick your brain? Learn the lessons that they're going to give you and do something with it. But we're here to help you. We want to see you succeed. And the other thing is, honestly, you know, going back to the network, it's so, 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 so critical. But I have been invited to two summits, and they're both virtual summits. And I've got to tell you, if these people had done what you're doing and stay in touch for, you know, the duration of time instead of coming at the last minute and go, by the way, we need to record. It's like, what? What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. You asked me to this event 6 months ago, and I haven't heard from you until today. remind me. And that's not right, is it? That's not how you... I have to tell you, I'm not impressed with either of these summits. I will appear. I'm not wildly impressed. I won't do it again next year. Not unless something changes.
No, it's just... It's big lessons that you're giving here,
I got to say.
The relationships are important. You know, and it's... And we all want to help each other because it's all... We do. Like, it's to a greater purpose, and it fulfills... Like, me helping someone fulfills my purpose. And if I could help somebody change their life, help their business, whether through NorCal, through a phone call, through a Facebook message, that for me is fulfilling because that speaks, that's my core value. And so a lot of these entrepreneurs, and you know, when you ask for help, like for some of these guys, I paid for help. I was like, hey, I want you to help me close the learning curve. How much would it cost to invest? And some I paid $10,000 for a coaching program to hire a coach to help me close that learning curve and help me close the gap because I knew this individual could do that because I know their experience in putting on events. I'm willing to pay people for time to close down the gap.
And that's important because once you identify somebody who can be a true mentor to you and who can help you, say, okay, we're going to take you from point A to Z in about 3 months instead of you being at this for 2 or 3 years. It's important to invest in yourself. And I think a lot of people just say, oh, I can't afford it. The question is, can you really not afford it? I mean, can you look at yourself 2 years down the road and go, you know, I could have learned this stuff 2 years ago if I just paid for it, found the money, you know, turned off cable, you know, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, pay up front now, but look at like the long-term return is going to be much greater because now you have the systems and you have the things you need in place to let the business run efficiently so that your $10,000, yeah, it may cost a little bit up front, but you're going to make it back so much quicker because now you have all the right things in place and the right systems in place.
Exactly. So let's go back to the summit a bit. I mean, I can't remember the first year if you had sponsors. I think there was one or two. Now they're kind of crawling out of the woodwork. How did you do that? Tell us, what is your secret?
We have 20 sponsors this year. No, 15 sponsors this year. And basically what I emailed the attendees, sent them a survey, got some analytics as far as like who are they, business owners, what do they usually make, you know, what do they make per year in their business? Because that's what sponsors want. Like sponsors want analytics. They want to see numbers. They want to see an ROI. Like they want to know who they're talking to and are they talking to the decision maker in the room. So I was able to provide that content for them. Or those numbers for them, and then we put it together like a really nice PDF of what the event is all about, who am I, why this event is created, here are some of our attendees, and here's what you get as a sponsor. And we gave them three different options, and a lot of these sponsors are friends of mine. Like they are fellow colleagues, they are friends I've met at different conferences, they are friends that wanted to support the event because just for the sheer fact of wanting to support the event. So I've been fortunate with the sponsors we got this year, but I provided them some information that they want, and that they needed, that they see that's important to get them to understand what the summit's all about.
So how did you come up with this idea? Was this part of your coaching? Did it just kind of all of a sudden go, that's a good idea. I need to implement that. How did that come about? Because it's, you know, a lot of people I think would go, well, I need sponsors. I don't have a clue. Now what do I do?
A lot of it came – well, one, I looked at, okay, like what – so the sponsors I have are very – they're selected sponsors. Like it's not just any – like I don't – it's not just anybody. I looked at, okay, what – you know, here are my attendees. Here's what I know their pain points are. And here's what I know they need. Now let me go find sponsors that complement those, that fall for those needs so that I can help – them grow their business. And that's how we went out and reached out to like technology, heart rate variability, online training, systems to track workouts online, you know, supplements. What else do we have? Education, things like that. So we went a lot of the sponsors complement the attendees and what the attendees are looking for. So I started there, and then I started reaching out to sponsors, and I started sharing the story, and I started sending them the PDF. And then I learned that from a coaching program I was a part of how to create a sponsor PDF and what to talk about in the PDF, and how to structure your PDF so that it looks, you know, how to find the right sponsors, how to that complement who you want to work with, and then how to write up that PDF so that it explains what everything's about.
I love that story. You said way earlier, that there was no blueprint for these kinds of summits. Is that going to be your next project? I'm giving you homework, whether you know it or not. But go ahead. Yeah, let's do this.
I'm definitely thinking about doing more. Like, cause a lot of people I've been getting a lot of people asking about how do I put on an event? What do I do with an event? You know, now that I've created this event, you kind of position yourself as the expert on how to create events. So I've had a lot of people ask. So I'm working on some things. I'm more speaking on how to put events together. Maybe like a webinar on how to put on an event that leads into like a consulting program on how to put on it, like to help me, to bring me on to help you put on events. So there's definitely some things I'm working on the back end.
I'm glad to hear that. You can also create a mini course. My brain is teeming here. I've got all kinds of ideas for you. It's like, I'll tell you, you need to do this and then let you run with it.
I love it.
I would love to see you do that because, I mean, you have taken this from, you know, just kind of a great idea to, oh, my gosh, in three very, very short years. Okay, so one of the things that I know you're doing with this summit is you're delivering high-level continuing education and content. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah. So this year we're doing something very different that hasn't been done yet at fitness events per se, maybe other events. So this year we're actually offering a live stream component to the event. So we get that a lot of people can't make it out to San Francisco, you know, for the same reasons. It's expensive. It's the flight out, shutting down the business. So I teamed up with a good friend of mine, his name's Dennis, with a company called Virtual.Fit, and we are going to be able to provide the three-day event via live stream into people's homes that want to be a part of the event, just can't get there live. You're going to have the ability to watch all 3 days. Everything's on video on demand, so you can actually not actually even have to be at home. You can just buy the ticket and come back and watch it later. You'll have access up to like 90 days. So you get all the continuing education. So we built out this awesome platform that gives you the experience of being there from the comfort of your own home.
And I was going to ask about that because I wasn't sure how, you know, it's one thing to sit there for 3 days, but if they can watch it on demand for 90 days, that's a really good idea. And now So are the CEUs available for people who are live streaming? And tell our audience what CEUs are.
So for trainers or fitness trainers, anyone who's a certified trainer, you have to get continuing education CEUs every 2 years, where it's like a certain amount of credits towards that certification. And so every year I submit my application to get CEUs for my summit. And so to provide that opportunity for trainers because it solves another need for them. So this year, NorCal has been certified from 5 different certifying bodies where I'm getting credits for all the attendees get a certain amount of credits for attending the event, pretty much enough credit to renew your cert for another 2 years.
So even the live streaming people can do that?
Yeah, even the live streaming
people can do that. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
How'd you work that out? That's great.
Because the event itself, you're still getting those contact hours because you're still there. Like you're still watching the event. We tied some like tests and some quizzes behind it so that when you're so at the end of every talk, there's a certain quiz or test you take, and that shows that you are part of. We can track all of that on the back end through this platform so that we can get to see it used.
Well, that is excellent. So we've got just a few more minutes. We've got about 6 more minutes. So do you want to just kind of run down, you know, the lessons that you have learned, and I know you've got them, just run down very quickly some lessons that you learned from the beginning to right about now, because you'll learn new ones this year and you'll put them into place next year.
I think definitely, like, go for me, it was a lot of go internal. And what I mean by that is there was a lot of self-reflection, and there was a lot of times where I just went by myself and put myself in a room and just thought, and what is this event all about? What am I trying to accomplish here? What's my purpose here? Trust me, there was moments when I was like, why the hell am I doing this event? Like, why, like, this is too much. I don't have a team. I'm a one-man show. And then I'd get a message.
Yeah, you had
like,
me.
I had Denise. Yes, I did have you. I did have
yeah.
you.
Hey.
I did have you, sorry. I did have you. I doing all the marketing and all the promoting and all, like, that became a lot. And,
yeah, you do. Yeah. And you do really well with it, by the way. If you ever need a job, I'll hire you as a social media person, just so you know.
Done. We'll talk. trust, like, just with any business, man, there's times when, like, you're just going to be, you just want to give up. Like, you're done. I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. That's where I reached out, and that's where I went in and really figured out what my beliefs, values, purpose was. And then I started reaching out, and I started just connecting and asking for help and looking at what other people are doing. And I got out of my own head and got away from my own, like, self-limiting beliefs. And what did that for me was I got emails. Like, the minute I started thinking, like, why am I doing this event? Someone would send me an email like, hey, your NorCal's changed my life. I can't wait for the next one. And that just gave me, like, I'm like, crap. Like, all right, I got some energy. Let's do this. And then things just started falling into place. And I think it's always go internal. Before you don't give up, like, go in, see what's going on, put it on paper, work through it, and just hit it head on, and you'll be surprised what comes out on the other side.
One thing that, and I've never asked you about this, but I don't think in the very beginning or even now you made this purely about profit. I think this was genuinely a desire to help people in your community, local community, and now, of course, you're reaching out to a much broader geographical community through the live streaming. But I have never had the sense that this was about profit for you.
No, it's never been, it's really never been about profit. You know, it's as long, you know, with, it, it's always been help. I've always come from a place of serving, a place of helping. I've been in this industry, in fitness industry, so long, and I've seen so many trainers struggle that, like, enough's enough. Like, there's no need for them to struggle anymore. And I've seen a lot of trainers leave the industry to go do something they don't like because they weren't making the money they wanted to make in the industry, and because no one was helping them. And so this was always about helping and serving and not about profit.
So when people reach out to you now, are they asking any kind of specific questions that you can say, I am really having an impact here? There's Todd Durkin's favorite word, impact. I mean, what are the things that you're hearing the most that go, I'm traveling the right road here, I'm doing the right thing?
I think the big one is just some of them, like, just seeing some of the messaging that's happening right now of people like, hey, are you coming to NorCal? Like, I can't wait to see you again. It's been a whole year. Like, that puts a smile on my face because that's really what this event was all about, was connecting people. Some of the other ones that were like, you know, NorCal changed my life. I am a totally different person. I've opened up. My business is doing so much better. Those messages are keep me going. Like, when I'm having a bad, like, one of those days, and we all have them, I read those messages. I read them, and I'm like, all right, like, let's just. It's an automatic state change for me, like Tony Robbins likes to say. It automatically puts me in a different state.
Right, and it does. Did you happen to watch Tony Robbins on Netflix? I Am Not Your Guru.
I did, and I'm going to Unleash the Power Within here in San Jose in November.
Are you? You've got to tell me that's all, you know, how that works out. You've got to call me. But did you notice that, and two of my very dear friends, and actually one is a business colleague, worked with Tony Robbins, one for 10 years, the other one for 12 years, directly with Tony.
Wow.
They were just part of the bigger team. They actually traveled the world with him. And both of them warned me, because I'm a Southern girl, and both of them warned me, said, Denise, when you watch this, I'm going to warn you, there's a lot of F-bombs. I went, oh, okay, I can handle that.
There is.
I didn't handle it. It took me three tries. I was like, oh, and I would just wince. It's not that I find it offensive. I've heard the word. I've used the word on rare occasions, but it was just so much. I was, oh, geez, and I would catch myself flinching. But once I got into it, I was like, oh, my God, and I cry every time, and I cry in the same place. So I'm not going to give anything away if you haven't seen it. But what my point for saying this is, did you notice his rebounder?
Oh, yeah.
One of my friends
says
he travels with that all over the world. It goes wherever he goes.
Yep. I may try it this year for NorCal before I go out on stage, just jump on a rebounder and see what happens.
I have a NEDAC rebounder. I've had it for years, and I love it. I haul it in from the garage. You know, it's one that you can fold in half and travel with, although it's really heavy. I mean, I haul it in, you know, out to the back patio. I haul it into the living room. I mean, that thing, I love it. I get out in that and I bounce around like a little kid and I have a good time. And then I feel better.
It's fun. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is you learn, like I watch what these other experts, these guys are doing, how they pretty much hold themselves up or what they do or how they carry themselves. And then I look at, okay, what can I do? Like, what can I work on? I'm always in that learning mode. Like for me, I feel like there's so much to learn and I'm always in that learning, implementing, did this work? Did that, okay, that didn't work. Let's try this. That's just been the growth in NorCal come from that. And the growth from any business, I really comes from, did this work? Okay, this didn't work. Let me try this. Let's try this. And all before you know it, you have this beautiful business that is working on all levels, and now this becomes fulfilling.
Exactly. Khaled, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been wonderful chatting with you, and I know the audience enjoyed the takeaways as much as I did. Before you go, tell people where they can find you, because I know you have two businesses. NorCal is just kind of an adjunct to what you really do. So let people know where they can reach you.
Yeah, so on Facebook, you can find me at Khaled Al-Masri at Facebook.com. Twitter, Instagram, it's at KFit21. Business-wise, you know, I have NorCal. I also have a fitness business coaching program. It's called Rise Fitness Business Coaching. I work with fitness entrepreneurs within their first 1 to 3 years to help them build their business and build a business that they don't resent so that life doesn't pass them by. So either any of those platforms, NorCalFitnessSummit.com, I'm more than happy to engage and talk and come by and say hi.
Excellent. Listen, best of luck to you in October. I can't wait to see how this all works out. And of course I'll be there, you know, all along the way watching and observing and, you know, kind of cheering you on. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for all your help. Well, you've been a huge help.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been my honor and my pleasure, I promise you. Well, listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Khaled Al-Masri, and I will see you next week. Khaled, thank you, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.